crossroads of empires, battleground of the ages, city of peace and of war. This is Jerusalem, where archaeology uncovers the empires of yesterday, where prophecy decodes the headlines of today. This is where history and prophecy come alive. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Today I have the honor of welcoming my friend, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to the White House. With this visit, the United States again reaffirms our unbreakable bond with our cherished ally, Israel. The partnership between our two countries, built on our shared values, has advanced the cause of human freedom, dignity, and peace. These are the building blocks of democracy. The State of Israel is a symbol to the world of resilience in the face of oppression. I can think of no other state that's gone through what they've gone, and of survival in the face of genocide. We will never forget what the Jewish people have endured. Your perseverance in the face of hostility, your open democracy in the face of violence, and your success in the face of tall odds is truly inspirational.
Welcome to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall. That was Donald Trump speaking to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week at a joint press conference at the White House, the very first meeting between the two face-to-face. And as you could tell by the reaction of the two, it was a very cordial meeting, especially from Mr. Netanyahu's point of view, such a stark contrast to the relationship that he had with the outgoing or the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. We see Mr. Trump, at least the way he's beginning his tenure in office, talking about Israel and the great hope that Israel has and provides to the world, the symbol that Israel is to the world of a democratic nation, especially in such a volatile place as the Middle East. And it looks like that relationship is going to go forward between the two nations of Israel and the United States in a way that we haven't seen for about 8 years. But is that relationship going to last? That's the subject of today's Watch Jerusalem webcast. I'm Brent Nachtigall, your host, coming to you from the United Kingdom, not Jerusalem, though we'll be back in Jerusalem for next week's program. And today we're going to look at that press conference, as well as some potential hang-ups between Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Trump, and how that this relationship might not be as solid as it may appear right now. So for today's show, what we're going to do is look at that press conference, at a number of key statements that indicate how the relationship between the United States and Israel is going to start. And then we're going to look at a very powerful piece, an article that was written just this past week as well, that shows the cracks that might be already beginning to emerge, and how that within a year or two, we might have Mr. Obama and Mr. Netanyahu on different sides of some pertinent issues inside the Middle East. Then finally, in the conclusion of today's show, we're going to look at what the Bible says about the relationship between these two nations. The Bible is very clear about the future alliance between Israel and the United States. It tells us exactly what is going to happen regardless of the personalities that are fulfilling the highest office in each of those lands. That's what we'll be discussing at the end of today's program. But for now, let's listen to another couple of pertinent clips from this press conference this week, Wednesday, at the White House between Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu.
As far as settlements, I'd like to see you hold back on settlements for a little bit. We'll work something out, but I would like to see a deal be made. I think a deal will be made.
So obviously what Mr. Trump's talking about there is these settlements that are inside the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, where Jews are living. There's a number of hundreds of thousands of Jews living in that territory that was formerly Jordanian territory before the Six-Day War in 1967. And since that time, Israel has been in control of that territory, and Israelis have been living there. And yet what we saw as soon as President Trump took office was a surge in construction permits that were given out to Jews in West Bank territory, 6,000 of them in the first couple of weeks or so, really because Israel saw that they had a friend in the White House, and they, in a way, were going to test the limits of that friendship, it seems. And yet, here we have Mr. Trump already saying that, I want you to ease up in that settlement construction. People were wondering, as soon as he took office, is Israel going to get a blank check from the President of the United States to do what it wills inside the West Bank? And really, this was the first glimmer that we had that, no, that's not going to be the case. In fact, we want a deal, he says. We want to have a deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And if you keep on building those places, those houses, regardless of their legality, that is going to be harder for Mr. Trump to make a deal, the ultimate deal, he's called it. Let's continue to listen to this this quote.
I know that every president would like to. Most of them have not started till late because they never thought it was possible. And it wasn't possible because they didn't do it. But Bibi and I have known each other a long time, a smart man, great negotiator, and I think we're going to make a deal. It might be a bigger and better deal than people in this room even understand. That's a possibility. So let's see what we do.
Let's see what we do. Let's see what type of deal can be made. And in fact, there's some of you in this room that don't even understand how big and beautiful this deal is going to be. Sounds pretty optimistic. Sounds very optimistic considering how many American consecutive administrations have tried to get a deal between Palestinians and Israelis, and yet they've all come up short. Now, it's not my purpose to go into the reasons why a deal has not been made yet. What's interesting and really stunning is how positive and optimistic Mr. Trump is. And he says a lot of the other presidents have waited too long into their terms to try and negotiate a deal. And yet he's coming along in the first 5 weeks of taking the presidency, and he believes that a deal can be struck. A negotiation's going to take place, and a deal will be struck. That's what he believes. Now let's listen to Mr. Netanyahu's response just after Mr. Trump says that they're going to try and work out a deal.
Let's try it.
Doesn't sound too optimistic, but that's so he's a good negotiator.
So he said, let's try. And yet it didn't sound too optimistic because really every prime minister of Israel, one of the things that they fear most is this successive push by the United States to make a deal between Israelis and Palestinians. Do Israelis and Palestinians want to live side by side or together or in peace? Of course they do. And yet what Israel knows is that over the years, it's been Israel that's the only side willing to make concessions. So at the end of the day, if they're an American administration wants to push and push and push for a deal, who are they going to push most? Well, up to this point at least, it's always been pushing the Israelis to give up things, give up land. And Mr. Netanyahu knows that with this administration coming on strong to push a deal, that at some point he's going to have to say, no, I'm not willing to give up that piece of land. I'm not willing to stop constructing buildings in territory we rightfully believe belongs to us. So even this is showing that depending on how hard Mr. Trump wants to push for a peace deal between the Israelis and Palestinians, we are going to come to a head. This relationship is going to come to a head where Israel disagrees with the United States. Now let's listen to an Israeli press member ask questions of both Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu.
Mr. President, in your vision for the new Middle East peace, are you ready to give up of the notion of two-state solution that was adopted by previous administration? And will you be willing to hear different ideas from the prime ministers, as some of his partners are asking him to do, for example, annexation of parts of the West Bank and unrestricted settlement constructions? And one more question, are you going to fulfill your promise to move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem? And if so, when? And Mr. Prime Minister, did you come here tonight to tell the President that you are backing off the two-state solution? Thank you.
So I'm looking at two-state and one-state. And I like the one that both parties like. I'm very happy with the one that both parties like. I can live with either one. I thought for a while the two-state looked like it may be the easier of the two. But honestly, if Bibi and if the Palestinians, if Israel and the Palestinians are happy, I'm happy with the one they like the best. As far as the embassy moving to Jerusalem, I'd love to see that happen. We're looking at it very, very strongly. We're looking at it with great care, believe me. And we'll see what happens. Okay?
So what we heard just there is a real shaking of the foundations of Middle East peace brokering. The two-state solution, two states, one for the Palestinians, one for the Israelis, side by side, has been really the foundation of negotiations between the two sides for at least the past two decades since the Oslo Accords in the early 90s. And Mr. Trump, with one swoop of his tongue, decided that, well, we're not really attached to the two-state solution. One state, two state, whatever, we don't care as long as we get some type of deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Now, responding to this, we had the Europeans up in arms, we had the left in Israel and up in arms, we had the Palestinians themselves up in arms through this as well, and really, it's... for the Palestinian side, it really did send a message to them that, wow, something that they've counted on as a concession already, as the very beginning to a peace negotiation between Israelis and the Palestinians, that is not a foundation anymore. That they might not actually get a state at the end of it. And this obviously flies in the face of the UN resolution, Security Council resolution that Mr. Obama rammed through right before he left office, saying that the West Bank and East Jerusalem, that doesn't belong to the Jews, that belongs to the Palestinians. Any Jew living there is occupying that nation or the future nation illegally. And then Mr. Trump comes in and says, well, we're not even attached to the idea that the Palestinians are going to get their own separate state. Now, he did say, of course, that the peace negotiations would work out to the point that Palestinians and Israelis are happy. So that implies then that they wouldn't necessarily want their own state over some type of peaceful one-state solution inside Israel. So, but this was definitely the most surprising statement that came from the Trump administration. And what we had was a number of other people from the Trump administration, notably Nikki Haley, who is the UN ambassador for the United States. She came out and said that while the United States and Mr. Trump isn't doing away with the two-state solution, he's simply saying that we're going to try other things. We're going to, obviously, that has been a failure for the past two decades. It hasn't led to peace. So we're going to be open to a lot of different options to try and negotiate peace between Palestinians and Israelis. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss this article that really does go into the potential rifts that are already emerging between the United States and Israel, even though things look rosy at the moment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3. KPCG and KPCG.fm. The podcast of each show is available at thetrumpet.com, at KPCG.fm, and at iTunes. Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is underwritten by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God produces the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine, the Key of David television program, and a range of free educational material. The church supports Herbert W. Armstrong College, the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation, and Biblical Archaeology in Jerusalem, Israel. The church also sponsors KPCG, broadcasting from its home campus on Bryant Road in North Edmond, Oklahoma. More information is available at pcog.org. This is Watch Jerusalem.
Our administration is committed to working with Israel and our common allies in the region towards greater security and stability. That includes working toward a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. The United States will encourage a peace and really a great peace deal. We'll be working on it very, very diligently. Very important to me also. something we want to do. But it is the parties themselves who must directly negotiate such an agreement. We'll be beside them. We'll be working with them. As with any successful negotiation, both sides will have to make compromises. You know that, right?
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. I'm your host, Brent Nachtigall, and we're discussing the relationship between the United States and Israel now that President Trump has moved into power. And that first clip really does highlight a potential rift between the new administration and Mr. Netanyahu, because he is taking this peace initiative to the Middle East, Mr. Trump, and it's very personal to him. He's going to try very, very hard. You notice that he actually went off his prepared remarks to comment on just how important this deal is to him personally. He is making the Palestinian-Israeli issue extremely important. And we know when Mr. Trump has things that he would like to do and he faces opposition to those things, he doesn't like it and he gets unhappy. And does this spell a potential rift between Israel and the United States? Now, I've got an article in front of me. It's entitled, "Why Trump's Love Affair with Netanyahu Won't Last." And this was written just a day or two before the meeting between Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu. And it's written by Aaron David Miller, and it's from Politico. This is how it begins. He writes, Mr. Miller writes, "As Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu prepare to meet this week in Washington, it's hard not to conclude that the U.S.-Israeli relationship has entered a new and happier era. The Israeli Prime Minister's feuds with Trump's predecessor Barack Obama were legendary, and by the end of Obama's term, the two men were barely speaking. But amid the sounds of popping champagne corks and cheering in Washington and Jerusalem, listen carefully, and you just might hear the distant rumblings of less happy times to come." And this article, again, I'll include it in the show notes so that you can read it yourself. I would read it, because what we are looking for in Bible prophecy is a break between the alliance between Israel and the United States. Now, we saw so much of that take place in the previous 8 years under Barack Obama. But just because we have a Republican in power inside the White House, and just because he started off by saying he's the most pro-Israel president ever, and he's starting off his tenure with such glowing remarks for Mr. Netanyahu, even in the opening segment, we heard that, there is potential issues here. There is a potential breaking between Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu, or America and Israel. Based on Bible prophecy, we know it's going to happen. We know that there is not going to be a huge resurgence, a lasting resurgence of the alliance between the United States and Israel. It might be temporary, and we are seeing that, a temporary rebound from the previous administration. Yet, as this article brings out, and I highly recommend you read it, there might be danger just around the corner. Now I'm going to continue from Mr. Miller's article. He's talking about how that campaign promises are very much more difficult to bring about once you're actually in office. And he's talking about this in relation to Israel. He writes, "This is especially true on a highly emotive and political issue like Israel, where candidates can get carried away and tend to promise more than they can and may want to deliver. Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, after all, both promised to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, and they ultimately decided it wasn't worth the risk. And even, as he writes, and even in Trump land, that walk back is occurring. In recent interviews with the Israeli newspaper Israel Hayom, his first as president, Trump sounded like any of his predecessors, dodging the embassy issue and criticizing settlements as not good for peace." And that was interesting. That's part of the reason he got elected, was his pro-stance on Israel. The American population is decidedly pro-Israel. A huge majority of Americans love Israel. If you look at the evangelical group, the really evangelicals, 80% of them voted for Trump. And one of the biggest issues on their plate is both religious freedom in the United States, but it's also a pro-Israel stance. That is one of the platforms that he got into power because of his pro-Israel stance. And yet we've already seen statements coming out that, well, You know, I did say that we were going to move the embassy back to Jerusalem, or to Jerusalem, definitely, but now he's considering it. Now he's talking to his advisors about it, whether it would be such a good move. Mr. Miller continues, Trump may end up moving the embassy, but clearly he's coming to realize the idea is more fraught than he first imagined, and he appears to have put it on hold. To the surprise of many, myself included, his administration has issued a statement on Israeli settlements that would have been recognizable and acceptable to its predecessors as well. Then he writes, he did caution Israel not to build new settlements or expand existing ones beyond their current borders. It signaled, particularly in the run-up to the Netanyahu visit, that there are limits to the administration's new love affair with Israel. There are limits to it. There are limits. And he said that even in this press conference, that can you put a hold on that? Can you stop building? It's not good for my negotiating position. If I'm going to negotiate peace as this deal maker between you two, you know, I need to make sure that you're on my side, that you're not making it more difficult for me by building these settlements. Really, it's not a far cry from what Mr. Obama said as well. Now, continuing on in this article, it says this. So it's by no means a foregone conclusion that the Trump administration is going to let Bibi do whatever he wants, particularly when it comes to settlements, or morph into a U.S. branch of the Likud party. In fact, if reports that the Trump administration is considering an approach to Israeli-Palestinian peacemaking that accords a central role to the key Arab states are true, then the administration has no intention of alienating the Arabs by tilting all the way over to Israel's side. Now, that's important because he mentioned that in that clip, that they're going to reach out to the Arab neighbors of Israel to try and help them get involved in a peace deal. And if that's the case, then Mr. Trump can't be too overtly Israeli or seen on the Israeli side. But there's another big issue that this article brings out that would be very good for our international audience to read about. It's under the subhead, Israel's Right Overplays Its Hand. And it talks about the internal policy making that Mr. Netanyahu has to go through, or the process he has to go through to ensure that he stays in power in Israel. He's got his own populace to upset or to keep happy. And in Mr. Netanyahu's view, that is the most important thing, staying in office to effect change inside Israel. And he will be willing to stand up to Mr. Trump if he has to. But the situation, in order for Mr. Netanyahu to stay in power in Israel, he's got to make sure the members of his coalition, his coalition government in Israel, are happy. It's not just a two-party system as in the U.S. You have the Likud party that I think has about half the amount of seats that it needs to gain a majority in the Israeli Knesset. And then the rest of that coalition is made up of other parties. And now that the right, those parties that are further right on the right than Mr. Netanyahu, have caught wind that they are done with Mr. Obama and that they have a pro-Israel candidate in office, or a president that's pro-Israeli, they are going to push that relationship as far as they can. They're going to make hay while the sun shines, really. And that is putting Mr. Netanyahu in a difficult position. This is what Mr. Miller writes. If the realities of governing may toughen up Trump's views of Israel, then the current dynamic of Israel politics will reinforce them. Henry Kissinger famously remarked that Israel had no foreign policy, just domestic politics. This is a bit of an overstatement, but when it comes to Netanyahu, not by much. Assuming he survives the rumors of the indictment now swirling around him, next year Mr. Trump will surpass David Ben-Gurion as Israel's longest governing prime minister. Often perceived abroad as a bold, risk-ready ideologue, the real Netanyahu is a cautious, risk-averse political survivor, and his longevity and the absence so far of a compelling challenger in the rough-and-tumble world of Israeli politics bears this out. That's very interesting. We think of those from the United States outside Israel think of Mr. Netanyahu as right wing. That's how he's reported in the press, right? Hawkish Prime Minister Netanyahu, as right wing crazy as possible. But in Israel, it's not like that. There are plenty further to the right than Mr. Netanyahu, and they make up part of his government. So he's got to make sure that he contains or keeps happy those people on the right of him, but also doesn't ruin the relationship that Israel has with the United States. So he is walking a very tight rope. And in that, we might see some decisive, well, that might lead to some cracks in the United States-Israeli relationship. This is how this part of the section of this article, Why Trump's Love Affair with Netanyahu Won't Last, this is how this section ends. The odds that the right-wing elements of the current Israeli government might push to do something that will annoy and anger even a solidly pro-Israeli Trump administration are quite high. For example, Bennett, the leader of the Jewish Home Party, he has advocated annexing settlement blocks in uninhabited parts of the West Bank under Israel's control. In fact, Trump's seeming friendliness has put Netanyahu in a tough position by removing a compelling talking point for restraining the Israeli right. But there's a problem for Trump here too. If forced to choose between peace with the United States and peace within his ruling coalition over some crisis provoked by that right wing, it's clear which way Netanyahu will go. Remaining prime minister is his prime directive. That's what he needs to do most of all, remain prime minister. And that might put him at odds with a United States government, a president, a volatile president that is it's set on making an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal. In order to do that, he even said that they're both going to have to give up some things. They're going to have to make concessions. And yet the Israeli right, further to the right of Mr. Netanyahu, are not willing to make concessions. Therefore, in the future, sometime, when Mr. Trump pushes hard for this peace deal, he's going to run into a government that is unable to give him the concessions he wants. Now, that foretells a future break in the relationship between Israel and the United States. Now, we're going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we're going to look into the Bible briefly to see what the Bible says about this break in the relationship between Israel and the United States. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
This is Watch Jerusalem on KPCG.fm. Thank you for listening.
Israel has no better ally than the United States. And I want to assure you, the United States has no better ally than Israel. Our alliance has been remarkably strong. But under your leadership, I'm confident it will get even stronger.
Welcome back to Watch Jerusalem. Now, that was Mr. Netanyahu expressing how positive he is about the relationship between Israel and the United States and how strong it's going to get under the leadership of Mr. Trump. Well, Bible prophecy says that that is not going to be the case. There is a coming break in the relationship between the United States and Israel. Now, the Bible doesn't really say what necessarily causes that break, but there's numerous prophecies referring to the tribe of Judah, which is the modern nation of Israel today, in this end time, and really, the United States isn't that much of a factor in them. And why is that? Well, it's quite possibly the United States has its own internal turmoil in which it can't act to protect or aid Israel as it has done in the past. Or because that relationship has already been broken by the time Israel reaches out to other allies, not the United States. Now, in this first half of the show, we showed you what could lead to that bust-up between the United States and Israel, potentially over Mr. Trump not getting his way on a peace negotiation with Israel, forcing Israel to make concessions that they aren't willing to commit or they aren't willing to make. That could be the thing that leads to this break. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes here before we end the program, but I just wanted to talk about this prophecy found over in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 14. This is the prophecy that discusses a break between Israel and America, and also Israel and Britain as well. It says this: "Then I cut asunder mine staff, even bands, that I may break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." Now, most people are pretty ignorant about the prophecies in the Bible because the Bible uses different names, obviously, than the names of nations today. The biblical names aren't the same as the modern ones. And when the Bible speaks of America and Britain, it uses the name Israel. And when it speaks the Bible of the nations of Israel, or the nation of Israel, it uses the name Judah. Today's nation, called Israel, is really a misnomer. It should have been called Judah, but they chose to call it Israel. Even though there's many other Israelite nations out there today that are not confined to the Israelite state or the Israeli state today. Now, if you want more proof of this, request our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. It really forms the foundation of understanding end time prophecy, this book does. It's gone out to over 5 million people. It's free. And of course, I'll leave a link for it for you to receive a hard copy, or go ahead and read it straight away. Now, this is what editor of Watch Jerusalem, Gerald Flory, wrote back in 2004. He said, "Look again at Zechariah 11, verse 14, this verse that we just read. He said, look again at Zechariah 11, 14, about the breaking of a brotherhood between Judah and Israel. I believe it may also apply on a physical level to America and the nation called Israel or biblical Judah today. This could be a prophecy of a rift between these two countries, one that would leave Judah very alone. If this relationship between Israel and America is broken, as this prophecy says, who is Israel going to turn to? Who are they going to turn to ally with in a Middle East that is desperate to get rid of the Israeli state, the Jews? This rift is obviously going to cause them to look to another protector. And that protector, I'll leave up to you to find out. If you read our prophecy page, please go there at watchjerusalem.co.il. We have a tab separate for the prophecies that we're watching for about the Middle East, about Israel or Judah, as it's called in the Bible. And you can go through this prophecy. It's entitled Breaking of the Brotherhood. And you can go through prophecies before it, that happened before it and after it, in this prophetic timeline leading to the coming of the Messiah, to know where you are in Bible prophecy and to find out who Israel is prophesied to turn to, because this relationship between the United States at that time will have been broken. That is what your Bible says. Thanks very much for listening today. You've been listening to Watch Jerusalem, the webcast version. We appreciate your feedback. You can do that by sending emails to letters@watchjerusalem.co.il, or you could follow us on Twitter following the handle @watch_Jerusalem, or look us up on Facebook as well. We've got a growing number of followers and fans, so you can catch our articles there also. Thank you very much. I'm Brett Nachtigall. Next week, we'll be coming to you direct once again from Jerusalem.